Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another broadcast of Sunshine USA here on the Blog Talk Radio Network. And this is me, Warren Landis, your host and Bible teacher here on Sunshine USA today. And here in Greenville, South Carolina, where I record each of these broadcasts, it is a beautiful sunny day. I tell you, that sunshine is shining brightly this morning after a all-day rain affair yesterday. We had, I think, an inch and a half or more of rain yesterday here in the Greenville and surrounding area. But today it seems to be sunny. They say we might have some thunderstorms this afternoon. That remains to be seen. But right now it's sunny and beautiful outside. And I hope it's great weather where you are. Everybody deserves a nice, beautiful day. And it's certainly a good day to study the Word of God here on Sunshine USA. We're currently in the book of Exodus. In fact, we started our study of the book of Exodus on the last broadcast. And we pointed out that a whole new Pharaoh is in office now, a Pharaoh that didn't have any remembering of Joseph. He couldn't remember Joseph or anything about Joseph and his brothers that came down into Egypt. All he knew was that these Israelites were multiplying like crazy. And it's interesting to note, we talked in the last broadcast about how by this time all of Joseph's brothers had died and their offspring, so a whole new generation's in place. If you were to interview some of the Israelites here in Exodus chapter 1, they would probably tell you they don't have any personal memories of Jacob or Joseph or anybody like that. So we have a whole different generation down here in Egypt now. And they're growing like crazy. And we see that their numbers are getting so big that it's becoming worrisome to Pharaoh. Now, also, as we pointed out last time, Pharaoh is not the name of Pharaoh. It's the title of Pharaoh. Just like president is the title of the president of the United States. For example, here in this country today, we say President Biden. President, though, is not his name. That's his title. And that's the way it was in Egypt. Pharaoh was the title that the king of Egypt had. And my guess is this is maybe a couple of pharaohs after the life and times of Joseph. Because if this had been immediately the next pharaoh, obviously that pharaoh would have known something about Joseph. But this pharaoh knew nothing about Joseph, so I'm thinking that there's maybe one or two pharaohs between the pharaoh that we have here in Exodus chapter 1 and the pharaoh that we have, under Joseph. Joseph, of course, had a good relationship with his pharaoh, and that pharaoh had made Joseph, in effect, the prime minister over all the land of Egypt. But now the Israelites don't have that advantage. Now they're simply looked upon as immigrants, and the Egyptians don't know what to do with these immigrants. So you see the immigration issue, just like it's an issue here in the United States today, it's always been an issue. Every country down through the annals of human history have had to be concerned with the topic of immigrants. It's not a new topic at all. Now, in this case, the Israelites were growing so rapidly that the Pharaoh feared that the Israelites would get large enough to where if they sided with the enemy, if the country ever went to war, it would be trouble for the Egyptians. Well, let's take a look at Exodus chapter 1, starting with verse number 9. Now, today we're going to be in Exodus chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. And here we read, "And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. And that, of course, is Pharaoh talking to the Egyptian people, and in particular, some of the leaders serving in Egypt under the Pharaoh. He said, these Israelites are getting to the point where they are more and mightier than we. In other words, he was trying to get across the message, we've got to do something about the rapid growth of these Israelites, otherwise we're going to have a big problem down the road. So let's see what Pharaoh decides to do about it. He says, come and let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them out of the land. Now, I don't think he literally wanted to get the Israelites out of the land, because really there were so many of them that if they left Egypt, then a lot of the work that the Egyptians needed to get done wouldn't get done. Now, I know here in this country, for example, we talk about the so-called illegal immigrants, how they are taking up people's jobs, but really that's not true. These immigrants, for the most part, are taking jobs that nobody else wants to do. Most Americans don't want to do the kind of work that these immigrants are doing. And yet these are jobs that need to be done, like working in the farm fields, harvesting the crops. Think about other jobs in this country that are dirty jobs that people don't like to necessarily do. They've got this guy on cable television. He used to have a cable TV show called Dirty Jobs. I think it might be back in production now. I don't know. But the job, his TV show focused on the different kinds of jobs that are really dirty, messy, smelly jobs that people don't like to do. And yet, if somebody didn't do these jobs, we'd be in bad shape as a country. Think about your garbage man, for example. He comes by once or twice a week. He collects the garbage. What if there was no garbage man? What would we do? How would we handle the situation? We'd be up a creek without a paddle. Now, of course, in some parts of this country even, people live in a subdivision and they have to take their own garbage down to the landfill. But, of course, you have to have sanitation workers working down at the landfill in order for that to work properly. So these Israelites were doing dirty, filthy, nasty work, but it had to be done. And there really, quite literally, was not enough Egyptians in all the land of Egypt to do all the work that the Israelites were doing. So the idea here is not to literally kick them out of the country, but rather to put them to work, and put them to work they did. It says in verse 11, and they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them their burdens. Now the word afflict here can mean punish. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made them serve with vigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and brick, and in all manner of service in the field, all their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. That's verse 14. Now, there's a couple of very interesting points that we could certainly get from our Bible passage today. One is the fact that avoiding trials and tribulations is not always possible. you and I have to realize that God never promised us a rose garden. He never promised us that everything was going to be easy. In fact, just the opposite. He pointed out, you know, we're going to have trials and tribulations. And the Israelites here, even though they were God's special people, they were not an exception. These Israelites realized and recognized that they too were not exempt from hardship and difficulty, trials and tribulations. But God does promise us that even though we won't always avoid trial and tribulation, God does promise us that he will be there with us, by our side. You know, right now, some of you listening to this broadcast, you're going through trials and tribulation and hardship, and you just don't know how you can make it through another day. But let me give you this confident assurance from the Word of God. God is with you. God has not deserted you. He will not abandon you. He is with you all day, every day, in spite of the trials and tribulations that you face. Now, I think you're going to find that over time, you will come out of these trials and tribulations a lot stronger than you were when you went in. Amen. You're going to find yourself a lot stronger than you were before when you went in. And the Bible tells us here in this particular passage that in spite of all this slavery and bondage, the Israelites grew and multiplied like crazy. In other words, they had great prosperity in spite of the hardship they were facing. In other words, the Israelites here learned the secret of blooming where they were planted. They proved that they could prosper in spite of their circumstances. Now that's a wonderful thought right there, to realize that we can prosper in spite of our circumstances. You know, you might think certain things are off limits to you because you're poor. Well, that's not necessarily the case. Sometimes I have found in my lifetime that being poor has its advantages. I have, for example, a very nice apartment to live in. It's one of the nicest apartments that I've ever seen. And I pay less for this apartment than any place I've ever lived because it's government subsidized. You see, sometimes there can be powerful advantages to being poor. You might say, well, there are some things that I can't do because I have a disability. And I say to that, welcome to the club. I have a disability too. In fact, I have several difficulties and disabilities. Some mornings when I get up and I turn this radio microphone on, you would not believe how hard it is physically for me to do this broadcast. Sometimes I do this broadcast when I don't feel like it. And believe it or not, today is one of those days. I don't feel good today. I'm having some health issues today. But I am not letting that stop me from doing the work today that God has called me to do. Because you see, I know that my God is with me. He has not deserted me. He has not abandoned me. He is with me. And God will give me the strength and the stamina that I need to be able to do the work that he has called us to do. Now, you know, it's kind of interesting where the Pharaoh is concerned here. He wants to put them in slavery and bondage because he's afraid they're going to multiply and become too much in terms of population. But the Israelites are doing exactly what he didn't want them to do in spite of all the slavery and bondage they were in. You know, one of the lessons I get out of these verses right here is the fact that as God's people, we are always going to rise to the top. We're always going to rise to the occasion. No exceptions to that. We're always going to be the cream that comes to the top. Because you see, God is with us. Just in the last couple of weeks, I've had people come up to me and let me know what a blessing it is to listen to my radio programs on the internet. Obviously, that means a lot to me. It makes me feel really good. It makes me feel that I'm accomplishing something, even though I, record these programs sometimes when I'm in a lot of pain or just otherwise don't feel good. Sometimes when I come to this radio microphone, I feel unbelievably weak or lightheaded. And I have to pray a prayer. God, I know that you have a reason for me to do this broadcast today. I know, Lord, that you have in mind people that you want to hear this broadcast today. And so, Lord, help me to produce this program today. And without fail, God has done that. And you know, it's amazing. Sometimes the best messages that I think I ever preach don't seem to get a lot of traction. And yet sometimes the messages that people remember the most are messages that I would have said are not my best messages. And yet somehow, some way, God chose to use those messages. And all I could say to that is to God be the glory. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. Amen. So we can see in these passages here that even though it's true, we can't always avoid trials and tribulations. We can't always avoid hardship. You know, you might be going to a job every day and you say to yourself, God, I have a better job out there for me somewhere. But just understand this. God has you in the job that you're in now for a reason. It might be that you're the only Christian, for example, in the company where you work. And what a great mission field you have to try to encourage your fellow workers to give their heart and their life over to Jesus Christ. And you see, as an employee in that company, you have an advantage that even your pastor doesn't have. Your pastor probably doesn't know the people that you work with. He has no idea where they live. They'll never darken the door of a church. But you see these people every day. And what a great opportunity you have to reach these people with the life-saving, life-changing gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, ultimately, we have to know that as Christians, this world is not our home anyway. This world is not our home anyway. We're just passing through. We're pilgrims. Our real citizenship is not here. It's in heaven. And boy, I tell you, when I think about heaven and I think about how grand and glorious and wonderful it's going to be, man, I can hardly wait to get there. When I get to see Jesus and Peter and Paul and James and John and all the others that went before, I can hardly get there. When I meet Moses, I can say, Moses, I guess it must have been a great thrill in your life when you and the Israelites crossed that Red Sea. I'll get to meet the Apostle Paul who probably did more to reach his world for Christ than anybody before him or since. Amen. So, like I say, this world is not my final home. It's not your final home. We're just pilgrims passing through. And even if you live to be 100 years old, think about it. Even if you live to be 100 years old, that is but a drop in the bucket compared to all eternity. When you consider that eternity is going to go on and on and on forever, and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, then 100 years even is just a drop in the bucket compared to all eternity. We're just passing through. The Bible says this life that we live, it's like a vanishing vapor. And this vanishing vapor one day is going to disappear. It's all going to go away. I like the song that says, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Think about that. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. You know, 100 years from now, most of the people listening to this current broadcast will not be here. You'll be in eternity. 100 years from now, it won't matter how many college degrees you've racked up. 100 years from now, it won't matter how many promotions you got at work. It won't even matter where you have worked. The only thing that will matter 100 years from now is whether or not you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. That's the only thing that's going to matter. Amen. Everything else pales in comparison. And I know here in this country, you know, we're getting all excited about the 2023-2024 football season. And to be honest with you, I love watching college football, even professional football, but especially college football. I like watching high school football. But I know that the biggest game during this next season, it'll be nothing compared to all eternity. Nothing. 100 years from now, people won't even know or care who won the Super Bowl this year or who won the World Series this year. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And that's basically going to bring us to an end, to the end of this particular message. And I hope it's the message that you needed. I hope it's a message that has brought you encouragement and inspiration. And do make it a point to go ahead and finish reading this first chapter of Exodus. I'm thinking that we have a shot at finishing Exodus chapter 1 on the very next broadcast. So go ahead and finish reading Exodus chapter 1. If you want to go ahead and get started reading Exodus chapter 2, that wouldn't be bad either. Now, if you have a Bible study question for me or if you have a prayer request, I encourage you to contact me by email. I've got two email addresses. One is warrenlandis@yahoo.com, and the other one is warrenlandis@gmail.com. And I take every Bible study question seriously. I take every prayer request seriously. And I know that our listeners are going through some unbelievable ordeals right now. And here at Sunshine USA, we have a huge and mighty prayer network. I can tell you about people that listen to this program every day, and they are prayer warriors. They pray for the listeners of this broadcast every day. I feel their prayers. And the way I see it, no prayer request is too small or too big. It's all possible with God. Amen. Now, if you want to contact me by email, that's great. If you want to contact me by snail mail, that's the old-fashioned, old-school way. You can do it that way, too. My snail mail address is Warren Landis, 80 Thruston Street. That's T-H-R-U-S-T-O-N, 80 Thruston Street, apartment 8510, Greenville, South Carolina, 29605. That's Warren Landis, 80 Thruston Street, apartment 8510, Greenville, South Carolina, zip code 29605. Now, be sure to mention that apartment number, because if you don't put the right apartment number down there, I won't get it. But just know I always look forward to hearing from you, and I respond to every prayer request. I respond to every Bible study question. I read every comment. You can be sure of that. Well, until next time, this is Warren Landis saying God bless you. And guess what? Don't fret, Dan, because I will see you next time on Sunshine USA.